So picture a corpse, right? Just sitting on this massive throne made entirely of gold.
Yeah, at the absolute center of this galaxy-spanning empire.
Exactly. And it's been, dying there for 10,000 years. It can't move. It can't speak at all. Its body is completely shattered.
And the craziest part is the only thing tethering its mind to reality is this colossal machine. A machine that literally devours about 1,000 human souls every single day.
Which is just wild to think about. Meanwhile, you have this empire of 1 trillion people kneeling before this dying figure. They are waging this brutal, eternal war in its name, totally convinced that this corpse is a literal god.
It is an incredibly bleak, macabre image to start with, but it's the absolute foundational image of this universe. It functions as both a literal reality and, well, a massive philosophical anchor for everything that happens in the lore.
Right. And the ultimate irony here, the twist that makes this entire setup so tragic, is the actual identity of that being on the throne, the emperor of mankind.
Yeah, because when he was actually walking around, he was this militant atheist.
Exactly. He outlawed religion entirely. I mean, his whole goal was to drag humanity out of superstition and into this pure age of reason.
And yet, the empire he built operates as the most fanatically religious, superstitious civilization in human history. His secular dream didn't just fail, the universe violently bent it into its exact, precise opposite.
So our mission for this deep dive is to basically dissect the anatomy of that failure. We are pulling apart the foundational lore of the Horus Heresy. It's this massive civil war from the 30th millennium that lasted, less than a decade, but it permanently broke a galaxy and created the grim, hopeless universe of Warhammer 40,000. Okay, let's unpack this, because if we look at the Emperor's original master plan, his push for a purely secular galaxy wasn't just like a philosophical preference.
Right. It wasn't just him being stubborn. It was a highly calculated metaphysical survival tactic.
Exactly.
We really have to look at the Emperor's nature as a perpetual. So he isn't just a powerful psyker. He's actually been alive since the dawn of human civilization.
Wait, like the literal dawn of civilization.
Yeah, thousands and thousands of years. He has spent millennia just watching humanity's psychic reflection churn in the warp. So he understood the mechanics of the Chaos Gods better than anyone.
Because those entities don't just exist in a vacuum, right?
Right. They feed on human belief, they feed on emotion and worship. So if you starve them of worship, you theoretically starve them of power. That was the cold mathematical logic behind the Imperial Truth.
See, I have to push back on that logic, though. I mean, if the Emperor is this unparalleled genius who has observed human nature for 30,000 years, isn't outlawing religion entirely just incredibly naive?
Oh, it's totally naive.
Right, because humans are inherently superstitious creatures. Trying to just turn off human belief by decree seems like a massive miscalculation. It's like, I don't know, like demanding that water stop flowing downhill.
It is a massive miscalculation, and I think it perfectly highlights the Emperor's fatal flaw, which is hubris. He operated on such a macro galactic scale that he completely lost touch with the micro reality of human psychology.
Yeah, he treated humanity like an equation to be solved.
Exactly. And we see this exact same detachment in how he created the Primarchs.
His sons.
Right, his sons. He engineered these 20 demigod generals from his own genetic template to lead his great crusade. But he didn't treat them like sons at all. He treated them like highly advanced logic engines.
And even calling them logic engines feels a bit generous when you look at how he handled failure. I mean, let's talk about the missing Tugendhat legions for a second.
Ah, yes, the Lost Legions.
Yeah. The Emperor created 20 Primarchs, 20 legions, but the official records only ever talk about 18. Two entire Primarchs and hundreds of thousands of Space Marines were just deliberately erased from history, like totally expunged.
It's fascinating. And the silence surrounding them is a brilliant piece of world building because it establishes the real stakes for the surviving 18.
Right. It isn't just a fun mystery box for you, the reader or listener.
Yeah.
It's like looking at a historical monument and realizing someone deliberately chiseled out two of the faces.
Think about the psychological chilling effect that has on the remaining Primarchs. They look at those empty pedestals every day and realize their father's love is entirely conditional.
Yeah. If you fail his vision, you don't just die. You are unmade from history.
Precisely.
And that just sets up an environment of intense paranoia and competition. And navigating that environment better than anyone else was Horus Lupercal, Primarch of the Luna Wolf.
It's a golden child.
Literally. He is the brilliant diplomat and warrior who can win over an entire planet with a handshake or a gun. His brothers respect him, his father trusts him unconditionally.
Horus truly was the beating heart of the Great Crusade, and that dynamic reaches its absolute zenith at the triumph of Ulanor.
Right, that huge victory over the orcs.
Exactly. After that colossal victory, the Emperor bestows the title of War Master upon Horus. This makes him the supreme commander of the entire crusade.
But, you know, rather than a reward, this title really functions as a trap.
Yeah.
Mostly because of the Emperor's just abysmal communication skills.
They really are terrible.
He crowns Horus, hands him the absolute burden of reconquering the galaxy, and then immediately abandons the crusade to go lock himself away in the dungeons of Terra. And he flat out refuses to tell Horus why.
He just leaves. No explanation.
It is the ultimate toxic corporate environment. I mean, you promote your absolute best guy to CEO, dump the weight of a massive struggling company entirely onto his shoulders, and then you go lock yourself in the basement and refuse to answer his emails. Of course he's going to crack under the pressure.
That's a great way to put it, especially when you consider what the Emperor was actually doing in that basement.
Right. He wasn't just taking a vacation.
No, he was constructing a human webway gate. The goal was to free humanity from relying on the warp for interstellar travel. It was a project that would have permanently severed humanity's reliance on the very dimension where the Chaos Gods reside.
Which sounds like a good thing.
It is. But by keeping it a total secret, the Emperor inadvertently created this massive vacuum of purpose for Horus.
And Chaos absolutely abhors a vacuum. They didn't just hurl demons at Horus, right? They found this very specific, incredibly human crack of resentment and abandonment in his psyche, and they wedged it wide open.
The architecture of that manipulation is honestly brilliant, because the Chaos Gods didn't even execute it themselves. They used the Primarch's own internal grievances, specifically Lorgar of the Wordbearers.
Oh man, Lorgar. He was the one son who actually worshipped the Emperor as a literal god, right?
Yes. And the Emperor's response was to publicly, brutally humiliate Lorgar at the city of Monarchia. He forced Lorgar's entire legion to kneel in the ashes of their own monumental achievement.
Which, again, is the Emperor completely failing to understand basic human emotion. Lorgar is devastated, so he just goes looking for real gods who actually want to be worshipped. And unfortunately, he finds the ruinous powers.
Exactly. Fast forward a few decades, and Lorgar's first chaplain, Erebus, orchestrates this incredibly elaborate trap on the moon of Dabin.
Right, this is where Horus is wounded by that soul-poisoning Xenos blade, the Anathema. And it literally casts his spirit into the warp.
And while he's in the warp, Chaos puts on a devastating piece of psychological theater. Disguised as Horus's dead friend, they guide him through this dark vision of the future.
It's so messed up.
It really is. They show him a universe where humanity has crowned the Emperor a god. They show him the grim, fanatical religion, the endless war, and crucially, they show him that the Primarchs have been completely forgotten.
Right, because there are no statues of the traitor Primarchs in the 41st millennium.
What's fascinating here is, well, the vision wasn't a lie.
Wait, really? It was all true.
Yes. This is the tragic core of the Horus heresy. Chaos showed him the actual 41st millennium. They didn't need to invent a nightmare. They just showed him the real future and let his own savior complex do all the heavy lifting.
Wow. So it's a total self-fulfilling prophecy. Because Horus believes this vision, he decides he has to rebel to save humanity from this exact religious stagnation. He's not acting out of cartoonish evil. He genuinely thinks he's the hero saving the secular dream. But then Horus realizes that if he's going to tear down his father's empire, his first major obstacle isn't even the emperor. It's his own men.
Right. He has to surgically remove the loyalty from his own ranks.
Which leads us to the sheer horror of the Estvan III atrocity. Horus basically takes the four legions he controls and filters out every single space marine who might still harbor even a shred of loyalty to Terra.
It is so cold and calculating.
He sends them down to the planet's surface under the guise of putting down a rebellion.
Mm.
And then he just virus bombs the planet from orbit. 8 billion people die in minutes.
And some of the loyalists actually survive that initial bombing, like Nathaniel Garrow, who manages to escape on the frigate Eisenstein to go warn Terra.
Yeah, but let's just pause and look at the sheer psychological violence of this act. Think about how you'd react if you were a space marine on Iskander III.
Oh, it's unimaginable.
You are psycho-indoctrinated to feel absolute genetic loyalty to your Primarch. You've fought alongside these guys for 2 centuries. They are your brothers. And suddenly the sky turns black with virus bombs launched by your own father figure. The psychological break that causes is just staggering.
It completely shatters the fundamental brotherhood of the Astartes. But the thing is, Istvan III was just the pruning. The true severing of the galaxy happens at Istvan Fifth, which is known as the Drop Site Massacre.
Oh man, this part is brutal.
It is. So when Terra finally learns of the betrayal, thanks to Garrow escaping on the Eisenstein, Rogel Dorn dispatches 7 full legions to crush Horus.
And the loyalists arrive in 2 waves, right? The Iron Hands, the Salamanders, and the Raven Guard hit the dirt first. They are absolutely furious. They are taking massive casualties, but holding the line, basically just expecting their massive reinforcement anvil to drop right behind them.
Right, they think they have the numbers.
Yeah. So the second wave lands. You've got the Iron Warriors, the Night Lords, the Alpha Legion, and the Word Bearers. The loyalists on the ground think they are saved. And then the reinforcements just raise their weapons and open fire on the loyalists.
Because those 4 reinforcing legions were already deeply corrupted by chaos. The trap wasn't just tactical. It was designed to maximize emotional devastation.
It's just sickening.
Chaos feeds on the psychic resonance of betrayal. So the slaughter at Istvan V wasn't just a military victory. It was a massive bloody ritual. Half of the Imperium's military strength was wiped out in a single afternoon.
And the intimacy of the violence is what makes it so horrifying. Ferris Manus, the Primarch of the Iron Hands, isn't just killed by anonymous enemy fire. He is physically beheaded by his absolute closest brother, Fulgrim.
It is profoundly tragic.
The loyalists are ground into the dirt, forced to flee as the shattered legions. But Horus's betrayal on Istvan was really only half the trap. The real genius of Chaos was how they weaponized the loyalists' good intentions.
Yes, which brings us to the absolute disaster that was Magnus the Red.
Magnus. Just what a mess.
He is arguably the most tragic figure in this entire tapestry. He was the most powerful psychic sorcerer among the Primarchs, and he used his powers to peer into the warp. And he actually saw Horus's betrayal coming.
So he tries to do the right thing. He knows he has to warn the Emperor, and a conventional message would be way too slow. Mm. So he breaks the Emperor's strict ban on sorcery from the Council of Nicaea, and sends this massive psychic projection directly to Terra.
Which is a terrible mistake.
It's like seeing a fire in a building, breaking a window to yell for help, but accidentally smashing the only fire extinguisher in the entire complex.
That is the perfect analogy.
Because Magnus's psychic scream hits Terra with so much force that it completely shatters the protective psychic wards around the Emperor's secret webway project.
Let's examine the mechanics of that breach for a second. The Emperor's wards were the absolute only thing holding the raw stuff of the warp back from the physical tunnels of the webway.
So when Magnus shattered them...
When he shattered them, he didn't just break a door. He ripped a hole in reality directly underneath the Imperial Palace. Demons instantly flooded the webway. The Emperor's grand project, the very reason he left the Crusade in the first place, was instantly irreparably ruined.
So the Emperor is, understandably, furious. He's literally fighting a demonic incursion in his own basement. So he issues an arrest warrant for Magnus and sends Leman Russ and the Space Wolves to bring him to Terra.
But this is exactly where Horus twists the knife.
Right, because as War Master, Horus intercepts the communications. He doesn't stop Russ from going. He just casually manipulates Russ's inherent distrust of Magnus. He twists the arrest warrant into a literal execution order.
Horus brilliantly uses the Emperor's own loyal executioners to remove one of the Emperor's most powerful assets.
The Space Wolves descend on Magnus's homeworld of Prospero and just burn it to ash. Magnus is forced to watch his sons being slaughtered for the crime of trying to save the Imperium. So, to save the remnants of his legion, Magnus is forced into a dark pact with the Chaos God Sinich just to survive.
It is heartbreaking. A loyal son, literally driven into the arms of Chaos by the father he was trying to protect, manipulated by the brother who had already betrayed them all.
Good intentions are actively punished in this universe. It's so dark. And with the loyalist forces systematically delayed, shattered, or manipulated out of the picture like that, Horus begins his 7-year march toward Earth.
The tactical brilliance of the heresy is that by the time Horus actually arrives in the Sol system, the Imperium has already bled itself dry. This all culminates in the Siege of Terra, which is a conflict on a scale that honestly defies standard military logic.
Oh, totally. We were talking about traitor legions, building-sized war titans, and literal demons pouring out of tears in reality, all throwing themselves against the Imperial Palace.
The siege grinds on for weeks. The defenders, you know, Rogel Dorn, the custodian guard, Sanguinius, they are fighting a war of pure attrition against an enemy that can literally summon reinforcements from a nightmare.
And then, at the absolute height of the slaughter, Horus makes this massive, inexplicable gamble.
Right. Horus lowers the void shields on his flagship, the Vengeful Spirit, while it's in orbit. Tactically, it makes zero sense. But psychically, it is an open invitation. He is daring his father to teleport aboard and face him.
And the Emperor takes the bait. He teleports up with his elite guard and Sanguinius, the Primarch of the Blood Angels.
Mm-hmm.
But the warp heavily distorts the teleportation, so they get scattered all across this massive ship.
Yeah.
Sanguinius is actually the one who reaches the bridge first.
Sanguinius represents the absolute apex of what the Primarchs were meant to be. Noble, beloved, just a purely angelic figure in a brutal universe. But when he faces Horus, Horus is practically bursting with the combined concentrated power of all four Chaos Gods. It's not a duel, it's an execution.
Sanguinius knows he can't win, but he fights anyway. And Horus brutally murders him. But I really want to focus on the mechanics of Sanguinius' death here, because it isn't just a physical event, is it?
No, it's so much more than that. The psychic trauma of Sanguinius being murdered by his brother is so profound that it sends a shockwave backward through the warp, directly into the gene seed of his entire legion.
It brands the Blood Angels with the Black Rage.
Exactly. Even 10,000 years later, these space marines will suddenly lose their minds in battle. They literally hallucinate that they are Sanguinius living out his final doomed moments against Horus.
It is biological PTSD encoded into their very DNA. It's horrifying.
It anchors the cosmic scale of the war directly into the biology of the surviving soldiers. It's brilliant writing. But right after Sanguinius falls, the Emperor finally steps onto the bridge, father and son. And this is where the Emperor's humanity becomes his greatest liability. Because as powerful as he is, he holds back.
Which is crazy. The Emperor is fighting a being entirely juiced by four gods, and he is holding back. Why? Because this is his son. It's the ultimate contradiction. He spent the entire Great Crusade acting like a cold, calculated machine, but in the final moment, he can't bring himself to execute his favorite child.
He fights defensively. He's trying to plead with the sliver of Horus that might still exist somewhere in there.
And because he hesitates, Horus just physically dismantles him. He shatters the Emperor's spine, gouges out an eye, tears his physical form to ribbons.
The Emperor's hesitation is only broken by an act of absolute gloating malice. A lone loyalist warrior, who is often depicted as a simple guardsman or a terminator, steps between them.
And Horus doesn't just kill this guy.
No, he uses the power of chaos to completely obliterate the man's soul from the warp. He erases his fundamental existence.
That is the snapback to reality for the Emperor. He realizes that the Horus he loved is entirely irredeemably gone. There is only a meat puppet for chaos left.
So the Emperor finally stops holding back.
He unleashes a psychic blast of such unimaginable magnitude that it doesn't just kill Horus's body. The Emperor entirely erases Horus's soul from the warp, preventing the Chaos Gods from ever resurrecting him. Horus is just deleted from the universe.
But the victory is pyrrhic in the purest sense of the word. Because when Rogel Dorn finally breaches the command deck, he finds the defining tableau of the 41st millennium. Sanguinius is dead, Horus is erased, and the Emperor is broken beyond any physical or psychic repair.
They carry his ruined, dying body back down to Terra, and the only thing waiting for him is the Golden Throne.
The very machine originally built to be the control mechanism for his secular Webway project.
Right. Now they have to desperately repurpose it into this massive, arcane, life support sarcophagus. They plug the dying Emperor into it, and the trap slams shut.
He is imprisoned there forever. His vast, godlike mind is now forced to project the Astronomicon, the psychic lighthouse that allows human ships to navigate the warp. And because his physical body is failing, they have to feed him.
They have to sacrifice 1,000 psykers to the throne every single day just to keep the beacon lit. And if you look at the sheer, panic-driven paranoia of the aftermath, the survivors are utterly traumatized. Roboot Gilliman, the Primarch of the Ultramarines, looks at the carnage and decides that no one person can ever hold that much power again.
So he writes the Codex Astartes.
Yeah, he breaks the massive Space Marine legions, which used to have hundreds of thousands of troops, into tiny chapters of just 1,000 men each.
Mm.
It is this massive institutional restructuring driven entirely by the fear that another Horus might rise.
And while the military restructures, the traders are driven into the Eye of Terror during the Great Scouring. Figures like Ezekiel Abaddon take up Horus's mantle. They launch grinding, endless crusades against the Imperium for the next 10 millennia. But, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the ultimate casualty of the Horus heresy wasn't a Primarch or a planet.
It was the Imperial Truth.
Exactly. The ultimate casualty was the Imperial Truth.
The secular dream completely collapses. In the vacuum of the Emperor being confined to the throne, humanity is terrified. And what do terrified humans do? They turn to faith. From the ashes of the heresy rises the Adeptus Ministor.
The massive oppressive church that worships the Emperor as a literal divine god.
Right. They burn heretics, they fear scientific progress, they basically mandate ignorance as a virtue.
The Emperor, the militant atheist who wanted an age of reason, is now trapped as the focal point of the most xenophobic, superstitious, fanatical church imaginable. He is a prisoner to the very worship he tried to eradicate.
So what does this all mean? If you step back and look at the scar tissue of this universe, it means that Horus's vision on Davin was 100% accurate. He got exactly the future he was shown.
Yes, he did.
But the brilliant tragedy is that by trying to prevent that future, by launching his massive rebellion, Horus became the central architect of it. Chaos didn't need to defeat the Imperium. They just needed to weaponize a son's grief and let humanity defeat itself.
It is a masterclass in world building. The 41st millennium isn't just dark for the sake of being grim. The endless war, the technological stagnation, the religious fanaticism. It is all deeply rooted, logical scar tissue stemming from this one, devastating emotional betrayal.
We've spent this deep dive exploring the mechanics of a story that literally spans over 60 novels. If you want to experience the galaxy before it broke and understand exactly what was lost, go grab a copy of Horus Rising.
Yeah.
It's the foundational text for a reason.
I highly recommend it. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a lingering, unsettling question. Consider the true nature of the Emperor. He was a hyper-intelligent, psychic immortal who had observed the flow of time and the warp since the dawn of civilization.
Right.
Given everything we know about his foresight, did he somehow see this betrayal coming? Did he deliberately walk into this trap, sacrificing himself and his sons because he calculated it was the only grim, terrible path where humanity actually survives the chaos gods in the long run?
Oof. That's a chilling thought. Because the alternative is almost worse, right? That it's proof that even a godlike intellect, a being older than recorded history, can be completely, catastrophically blind to the basic psychological needs of his own children. It all comes back to that corpse on the golden machine. A dying father paying the price for the son he loved too much to kill in time. Until next time.